I will ask you to stand once again in reverence for God's word. If that's difficult, just put your hand over your heart. It doesn't bother God one little bit. I'll be reading from the book of Deuteronomy, the fourth chapter. I'm going to begin with the first verse. So now, Israel, give heed to the statutes and ordinances I am teaching you to observe, so that you may live to enter and occupy the land that the Lord, the God of your ancestors, is giving you. You must neither add anything to what I command you, nor take anything away from it, but keep the commandments of the Lord your God, with which I am charging you. You must observe them diligently, for this will show your wisdom and discernment to the peoples. Who then, they hear all these statutes, will say, surely this great nation is a wise and discerning people. For what other nation has a God so near to it as the Lord our God is whenever we call to him? And what other great nation has statutes and ordinances that are as just as this entire law that I'm setting before you today? But take care and watch yourselves closely, so as neither to forget the things that your eyes have seen, nor to let them slip from your mind all the days of your life. Make them known to your children and your children's children. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. You may be seated.
When I was young, yay, lo, those many decades ago, there was a song called Ball of Confusion. Who remembers that one? Yeah, there's a few old people in here, wouldn't you? I loved that song. And at one time, I knew all the words. People moving out, people moving in, all because of the color of their skin. And it goes on and it talks about all the mess that the world was in. This was in the 70s. If the world was a mess in 1975, it ain't got nothing on today. Because we're still in a mess. We have all these confusing messages coming to us all the time. You know, they say we live in the age of information. I say we also live in an age of misinformation. Because you have people who are both thoroughly convinced they're right, telling you exact opposite things. And I'm not just talking about Republicans and Democrats. I'm talking about conservatives and liberals. And I'm talking about pro-life and pro-choice. And I'm talking about people just, you know, all good people, but just thoroughly convinced that they're right, but they have completely opposite opinions. How do you know what to do? How do you know what to do, how to vote, what you should be doing on a day-to-day basis? How do you know? How do you know what's right? Now, actually, what's right and what's wrong is a little bit easier than some things because we have some very clear ideas of right and wrong that are generally accepted. Is it right to steal? Oh, let's be a little more enthusiastic about that one. Is it right to steal?
No.
Is it right to lie?
No.
Is it right to covet something that somebody else has?
No.
See? Right and wrong, we have a better idea about. Now, sometimes it's fuzzy, but right and wrong, we got that. Here is the real rub. Not just what is the right thing to do, but what's the best thing to do. How do we know what the best thing to do is? Because there's a good solution and a better solution and the best solution. Don't we always want the best solution? Don't we want to make the best decisions that we can? Don't we always want to say, well, you know, I just want to live a mediocre life. I just want to make it little here, little there. No. We all want to be our best, do our best. We wish it was easier. But we all want to make the best decision possible. I mean, what are we going to do? Say, like, well, I have to tell you, some people don't, really. I had a friend, my aunt's friend. I'll never forget this conversation. My aunt and she had gone to Washington, D.C., and they were seeing the sights. And my aunt's friend got tired at the Smithsonian Institute, so she went and just sat down on the steps while my aunt, who wasn't going to miss anything, went through the whole thing. But when my aunt came out, here was her friend sitting talking to a gentleman, and she met him on this Thursday, and she married him on Saturday. And my aunt said, "Have you lost your mind?" And she said, "Well, Bill, I decided that if I didn't like him, I'd just divorce him." You know, and there are some people, I guess, who aren't trying to do their best and give their best and say, "Well, you know, whatever." But most of us want what's best. We want the best for ourselves, the best for the people that we love, the best for our communities. But in this world of conflicting information and misinformation, how are we going to know? Well, I'm glad you asked. We are going to learn how to discern. Say discern.
Discern.
Discern. We don't talk about discernment a whole lot, but discernment is having keen perception and keen judgment. And God's Spirit has
given all of us the ability to discern. Who?
All.
All. We all have it. Now, there is a gift of discernment, which is over and above regular discernment, but we all are able to discern. And God wants us to always choose the best. And once we have discerned the difference between this and that, once we have been able to see that difference, then God gives us something else that was in the scripture that I just read. What?
Wisdom.
Exactly. That is, wisdom is applying the knowledge that we have correctly. You don't just know it, you know how to apply it. And that is how you get the best decisions. But how do we know when it's us and when it's God? You know, every once in a while, I want something really, really bad. How about you? Yeah, I see the heads nod. Sometimes we want something really, really, really badly, and what we do is we say, "I know that this is God's will." I used to try to convince Gary all the time that God had called us to missionary work in Waikiki. And can you believe he had the audacity to say that was my flesh talk? I'm sure it was God. No, it wasn't. I would love it, but no, I've never heard God call me to missionary service in Hawaii. I wouldn't mind, Lord, just saying. But it's hard, particularly when your emotions get involved in something that you really want, to be able to discern and be wise. So let's talk about how we can discern and be wise. Now, I know what you're gonna think. Yeah, I know where she's going first. The Bible, right? Well, we're gonna go to the Bible, but let's start with a disclaimer. The Bible doesn't cover every specific situation that you're gonna come up to. When your parent is elderly, and you have to decide how to care for them, whether to care for them in your home or whether to go to their home and let brothers and sisters come in and help, or would it be best for mom or dad to go into assisted living or perhaps into a nursing home?
those decisions are difficult. And unfortunately, you cannot go to the back of the Bible in the concordance and look up nursing home. It's not there. That decision is not specifically covered in the scripture, is it? When you are faced with the situation, I have been offered a job with more money, but it's, you know, across the country from my home. Do I take the job or do I stay where I am? You can't flip to the concordance and look up jobs. It's not there. You don't get anything specific a lot of times about the situation that you're facing. But folks, I promise you, biblical principles cover any decision that you're ever going to have to make. The biblical principles, the statutes, the ordinances, the history, all of those things that we read of in the scripture give us the tools that we need to know the mind of God. We know the mind of God because we understand His Word. You with me? Okay, Methodists, here we go. Head goes up and down. Okay, there we go. We have some visitors today. Let me explain. If you're not used to the Methodist tradition, this is the way Methodists say amen. The head goes up and down.
Amen.
With the exception of Jerry. We've missed you, Jerry. It is entirely possible. Entirely possible. To understand God's will by reading scripture, but it is not possible if that's the only thing you've got. Are you surprised? Didn't you think that I would say, you know, if you read your Bible every day, that you're going to know everything you need to do? Well, unfortunately, that's not true. And the scripture that I just read says that that's not true. We need some other stuff. We need our memory. We need to remember certain things. If we're going to know God's will, we have to have a history with God. And chances are this is not the first decision you've ever had to make. And you have to remember how God helped you in the past to make a decision. And you have to remember those decisions that you made that were wrong. And remember what went wrong. Because none of us ever made the right decision. Our church has not always made the right decision, even though corporately we were trying to. Right? Has, you know, anybody here think that Kendricks Creek is a perfect church and we've never made the wrong decision? Let me see your hand. Okay, I see no hands. We're close, but, you know, we're not there. We have not always made the right decision, but we have then the memory of what we did and say, okay, this is why we missed it. Remember that. We do it corporately and we do it personally. I've made some wrong decisions. I've made some decisions that were very, very difficult to make that you have to wonder about. When my husband Gary was in intensive care and the doctor came to me on Friday night and said, you know, by Monday morning, you're going to have to make a decision whether to turn off the life support or not. I'm not the only person in that room that's had to make that decision. And you have to say, what do I do? How do I make a life and death decision over another person? How do I do that? And here I am, and it's my decision because Gary can't respond. And I'm having to make that decision. And don't you think I was praying? Don't you think I was thinking back on all the decisions that I've made and asking God, you know, okay, God, what do I do? Because together with our memory, folks, we've got to pray. And you can't wait until the doctor comes to you and says, this is what you need to do to start praying. You've got to be praying all the time. You've got to learn to recognize God's voice and be able to differentiate it from your own. You know, when I call certain people, there's certain people in this church I talk to regularly on the phone. You know, I call Joe Odom almost daily. You know, Joe and Peggy and Jean. I text Margaret. But, you know, I call the three of them with the prayer chain. And we have prayers that go out almost every day. Do I recognize their voices the moment I hear it on the phone? Yes. And I'm sure they recognize mine. Even before a caller ID identifies me, they know that it's me because they recognize the sound of my voice. I recognize Ross's voice on the phone. I don't need caller ID. I recognize it. I recognize John's voice on the phone. I recognize Peggy. The people that I talk to all the time, I know Artis's voice when I hear it. Because we talk to each other on the phone all the time. Folks, if you're talking to God all the time, every day, you will learn how to recognize His voice. But if you wait until the last minute, till you've got that situation that comes up, then you're not going to hear. Your emotions are going to be too much in a turmoil, and you're not going to recognize God's voice. It's like when I call, you know, somebody that I don't talk to all the time. There's a few people that, you know, would probably recognize, but, you know, most of them rely on caller ID because I have called some of you and say, this is Susan, and there's that pause when you know they're going, Susan who? Susan who? And then I go, Pastor Susan. Oh, they always say that. Oh. That aha, I know who you are now. If you don't talk to God except when you need something, you're not going to recognize His voice. You're not going to know it's Him telling you. Remember, we already said God wants the very best for us. He doesn't want us to make good decisions or better decisions. He wants us to make the best decisions. And He wants to tell us what we need to do. He doesn't just throw us out there and say, have at. But if we know His principles, which we get from the Bible, if we take the time to think, reason, and remember, if we talk to Him every day, then the Holy Spirit that is within us will allow us to hear what God is telling us. We'll know what to do. You remember a couple of weeks ago when I got up to preach and I said, well, this wasn't a sermon I prepared for today. Most of you were here that day. I sent Ruth Ann the material for the bulletin, and I was all ready to preach this sermon, and I got here. It was, you know, it was special music time. I was getting ready to get up. I mean, you know, special music takes what, 3-4 minutes? And then I was going to get up and preach. And all of a sudden, God said, no, that's not the one you're going to preach. Let me tell you what happened before that. The Sunday before, when I was in Sunday school, we read a scripture. And God told me in my spirit, you need to preach that next Sunday. And I heard it. I knew that's what he said. But then I talked myself out of it. You know why? Because I flipped over in my Bible, you know, to mark that page and realized that in 2009 I had already preached that passage. And I said, well, you know, and I usually don't preach the same passage twice, although it's been 8 years, and I doubt very seriously if you all remember what I preached 8 years ago. But be that as it may, I said, oh, I must have misunderstood. And God didn't say anything else until I got up getting ready to preach when he said, remember what I told you last week? You're going to preach that scripture. Now, the first thing I wanted to say was, Lord, I've not even read that scripture for this week. I might ought to at least read through it before I start to get up and preach it. But I didn't. I gave him no lip because, you know, if he's not talking through me, there's no reason for me to talk. So I sat and I got up and I preached a completely different thing, but I wouldn't have had to go through all of that if I'd have just done what he told me in the first place. But I talked myself out of it. Now, do you think that there is any chance that the next time I feel God telling me, you're going to preach this next Sunday, that I'm going to say, well, Lord, I've preached that before? Am I going to do that? No, I'm not going to do it. Am I going to say, well, you know, Lord, I really planned on preaching thus and so next week? No, I'm not. See, I know now. I know from the scripture that he said he would lead in what I'm supposed to say. I know from my personal experience and my history of the church that God has a plan for you, and it's not for me to come up with it, it's just for me to proclaim it. And I know when I hear his voice, and I'm not ever going to talk myself out of it again. Because I want the best. That Sunday, as many people walked out, they said, you know, that God had that word for them. I knew that was what he wanted. It makes a huge difference. Going, if I'd have preached the other sermon, y'all would have got something out of it. I preached it the next week. But it would not have been what he wanted you to hear at that moment in time that made a difference for the rest of your week. I feel obliged, by the way, to not waste your time. Y'all could be doing anything. You could be at the lake. You could be at the beach. You could be out on a picnic. You could be doing anything. You could have just still been asleep. It's you made an effort to get here, and God wants you to hear something. Amen. And it's my job to make sure that that happens. To give you not something good or not something a little better, but to give you the best that I can from what he's given me to give. If we spend time with God every day, and I don't mean a lick and a promise. If we really spend time with him every day, then we can face the future completely unafraid. Completely unafraid. Because we know he's present and we know that he's leading. If you know for sure that the Lord God Almighty, creator of the universe, is standing right beside you, what are you going to be afraid of? Nothing. Would even hell or death scare you? Mm-mm. No, because my daddy's bigger than your daddy. My daddy can whoop. I'm not afraid of anything. Because the creator of the universe is beside me and leading me. May he do that for all of us every single day. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.